The Naked Love Podcast with Theo Manderson and Kathy, aka A Cup of Kathy.
Welcome back to season 3 of the Naked Love Podcast by Premier Gospel. In this podcast, we are getting raw and honest about love, real love, tackling the big topics from a Christian perspective. From stripping down modesty to how overcoming infidelity can make us stronger. If you are thinking about it, then
you're talking about it. Yeah. Don't forget, you can catch us at previous seasons 1 and 2. You can listen back on premier.plus or follow us on Instagram at nakedlovepod.
Yes, yes, yes. And of course, we are at our favorite part of the NL Street. Dun, dun, NL Street.
This week on NL Street.
Jade, didn't you hear me calling you? Hello, Jade. Don't tell me you're still giving me the silent treatment. From this morning, I said I'm sorry. How long is it going to take you to forgive me?
I forgive you, Jason. I'm just not ready to speak to you, okay?
But you can't ignore me every time we disagree.
I don't know what else to do because you get so defensive when I try to share my points. You're not normally like this. It's just whenever we talk about, you know, the arguments that we have.
Okay. You don't need to say anymore. I hear you. I understand and I'll get it sorted.
See, this is what I'm talking about, Jason. Your guard's up again and you're shutting the conversation down.
And you know what, Jade? You're nagging me about it. I lost my job. Money's getting tight. But as the man of the house, I've got it covered. I don't need you to ask me any more questions.
Wow, Jason. I've never seen you blow up like this before. You're one of the only men in my life who I'm able to get real and honest with. We talk about everything. You being vulnerable is one of the main things I'm attracted to about you.
I just feel insecure about this one. I feel like I've let you down. And you keep asking me questions. And I honestly, Jade, I don't have the answers. And that feels scary.
Look, I'm sorry if I've been putting too much pressure on you. I've just never seen you like this. Can we pray about it?
More from NL Street next week.
Interesting. This is a tough one. I've never seen Jason like that before, you know.
He's normally a bit nice, isn't it? He's normally a nice dude. Sometimes he has
his moments, but you know, it's difficult. When you're in difficult situations, then it gets a bit harder to talk about stuff. I mean, yeah. Do you find it easy to testify to that? Sorry?
I can testify to that.
Okay, tell me more.
Yeah. Communicating in relationship is tough, especially as a man, because, you know, this is the world's view of men and what men should be doing and men should be providing. So when most men are vulnerable when it comes around money, when we don't have the income coming in, can't see where it's coming in from. So we feel vulnerable because we're not able to contribute. Even if our partners are able to support and whatever, you still feel less than. And in many asking questions, it's like, I don't really have the answer. So we do what most men do. We get defensive and we come out swinging. You know, because that's the only recourse we have. Or we go silent. So it's either we come out shouting or we go silent. And then it's just, there's no communicating at all, really. No communication.
And, you know, that's so tough because I feel like men need to know or should know, or maybe, and I hope I'm speaking on behalf of a lot of women here, but I feel like the women in your life just want to help. Do you know what I mean? And I know, obviously, it is a manly thing. Like, yes, I want to provide, I wanted this. But sometimes, you know, like, I don't know if it's the Bible that says this, but two heads are better than one. Do you know what I mean? Like, so even if there are issues on ground, then it's like, okay, let's talk about it and we can find a solution together. But I know, you know, I feel like a lot of men will just be like, I just want to sort this out myself. I want to do it. Like, I'm not going to talk to you till it's sorted. But it's like, actually, it could be sorted quicker if you just communicate with your partner what it's about.
Yeah, we know it. We know it. But it's the fact that, because especially, it depends on the dynamics of the relationship, especially if you've been the person that's been the solid one, that's been supporting your partner, your wife, whatever, and all of a sudden, like, you can't do that anymore. It's like, I'm in an uncomfortable position.
Yes.
The roles are reversed, and it's like, okay, what do we do here? Do I now just, because it's, do I now share that I'm scared? Because a lot of the times the wife is the one that's vulnerable, you know, fretting about things, worrying about the house, the bills and all that stuff. And the husband is like, it's okay, we're going to be covered, it's okay, we'll be all right.
Yeah.
Because we know we've got money coming in and we can like, okay, I'll get paid next month or doing whatever I can, we can do this. But all of a sudden, I haven't got, they're not in that position no more. And then it's, then your wife is like, so what's going to do here? And in your head as a man, you're thinking, can I, how can I say this to my wife who I'm the one that's been, you know, supporting and be, I'm the one that's able to say, it's okay, it's going to be all right. Now, yeah. I can't say that. So if I say to her, it's not going to be all right, is she going to crumble? We're thinking about the wife. Is she going to crumble?
So, but women are a lot stronger than...
I know. We know this. We know this. But it's still that mindset. You have to get into that mindset. My wife will be all right. She's strong. I just have to trust her. And the minute you do, it's like...
Yeah.
At the end there, I'm scared. All of a sudden, the whole conversation will change.
And it's funny, you know, it's interesting you say that, because I feel like a lot of women, I won't say most or any, or all, but a lot of women are nurturers. So actually, when we see our person or our partner, you know, in a vulnerable state like that, all we want to do is nurture and to look after and to care for. And actually, it is, you know, like Jade said, I think I relate to her in that sense, that vulnerability is attractive. Do you know what I mean? Because normally our man is the one that, like, yeah, I'll sort this out. But then when he shows that vulnerability, it's actually attractive. It's not repelling. Like, so a lot of men don't like to show it because they feel like, oh, if I show that softer part or that part that doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow or where the next money is coming from, she's not going to like me anymore. She's going to think I'm weak or I'm less of, which is not the case, actually. We actually have even more respect for you, that you can actually be honest and share with us that, look, these are the situations. And there's nothing, and again, if you're with a good woman, she's not going to, you know, reject you for it. She's going to say, okay, look, what can I do to help you get through it? And what can we do together? You know, and again, relationships might be a bit different than to a marriage. I'm not, you know, I don't know necessarily the boyfriend-girlfriend dynamic, but if it's a marriage, it's like your wife will want to help you through it, you know, not condemn you for it and stuff. But again, no matter how many times a woman says that, a lot of men probably don't believe it. But I'm telling you, if you're a man listening to this, just allow your wife, let her in, communicate, you know. And the worst thing is being shut out.
Yes.
That is the worst thing. Again, like, I just, you know, I think a lot of men need to know that actually when you shut your woman out of it, is that's probably the worst thing you can do, because she's left in the dark. The problems haven't gone away. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you are in the dark and the problems are going away, okay. But the problem is, a lot of people will put their wives or their partners, again, because this could be either way, you know, you could put your partner in the dark and then the problems are only getting worse. Like, deadlines are coming. It could be, if it's a debt or something, the debt could be added more. Like, they could be taking you to court. They could be adding it. Oh, bailiff on this date, court money on this date. You know, they add, when you owe something, they don't just say, oh, you owe us, we know you're struggling, that's why you're owing us. They're like, oh no, we're gonna add this collector fee on top of it, we're gonna add this on top of it, you know.
Yeah, it becomes a very quick, sharp downward spiral, and relationships break up, and because only, I know it's because the person didn't speak. So it's important for people to speak both ways, because it can easily shut down on both sides. And it's, communication is one of the key things in any relationship.
Yeah.
Not only husband and wife, boyfriend and girlfriend, whatever. Even in work.
Yeah, that's true.
Any relationship, for it to work, you have to communicate. You know, even if you play in a sport as a team, the teams that communicate the best tends to win.
Wow. And
because communication is the key. So if you're not communicating in a relationship, the relationship can't go anywhere, because you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that's true. When you said about, you know, the team that communicates win, and actually... I don't think I posted it. I made a video for Instagram and then I didn't post it. This has given me inspo to post it now. But I actually said that communication is helping your partner win. It's helping them win at loving you, win at being your wife, win at being your partner. Whether, again, if it's a sibling relationship, win at being a sibling,
yeah.
You know, because when you don't tell them, look, this is what you did wrong, and you just go silent, or if you've had an argument, or if something's troubling you, they can't support you. They can't win at being your brother, your sister. Yeah. They can't win at being a good mom, a good dad. If they can't, or a good husband, a wife, you know, let them just win. Let them have the opportunity to come through for you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very important. It's a tough one. But I can say a lot of relationships, it boils down to communicating, and it tends to be around money a lot of the times especially then that shutdown. It tends to be around money or sex.
Interesting.
Or sex. Not getting enough or not doing enough or whatever it may be, but they end up in that not communicating, and it becomes a problem, and then the wife or the husband, whoever's feeling left out, finds it hard. Because like, where do we go? What do I do? I'm here trying to support, but where do I go with it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And you know, sometimes, you know, some people can give the reason, oh, I'm silent because I don't want to say things I'm gonna regret or something. And I think sometimes there is a place for calm and, you know, recouping. Mm-hmm. But I think more than anything, you know, communication is key. Like, and I just wish more men knew that, you know. And again, I know it's not always men, but I just, obviously, I'm talking from a female perspective, and I feel like a lot of the times it is the men in my life that will not talk. And, you know, and I don't also think sometimes I feel like I have used the silent treatment with my husband. Like, if he's done something, I'll just be like, I'll just go silent. And there's this funny TikTok where a man is like, oh, I'm having such a lovely day today. I wonder why. And his wife is like, I'm angry at him. I'm not going to talk to him so that he knows I'm so angry. But the husband is like, oh, I'm having such a great day. And I don't know why. But the wife hasn't spoken to him. Oh, boy. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to speaking to our guest today.
Yes. Joining us today on Naked Love Podcast is the renowned poet, husband, father of five. One more behind me, then we can join the club. And lover of Christ is Ezekiel Azonwo. Ezekiel's gift with words has resonated with people all around the world through his powerful spoken word performances, as hard-hitting pieces like Almost Saved and Silence is Deadly. He's known for sparking up big conversations for Christian men and women around topics of sex, relationships, biblical masculinity. Nothing is off limits. With the aim to address some of his toxic ideas floating around our society, he's on tour with Preston Perry, inviting men, women, single or married, to join them in getting real about controversial things we often don't discuss. So you're ideal for this podcast. Ideal.
Honestly,
welcome.
That is what we do here. That's what we do here. Welcome.
That's dope. Thank you guys for having me. For real, for real. Preston and myself, we've been doing some work just out here. A lot of dispelling of a lot of toxic ideas that are just floating around because of social media. Everybody has a microphone. Everybody's sharing their thoughts. But our goal is to take a biblical perspective, hear people where they are, from men, from women, from singles, from married people, from people who have been scorned, from people who have been divorced, people with kids, without kids. And we want to hear where everyone is at, and we want to add some value with a biblical perspective and have conversations. It's really important that we actually have these conversations that are necessary. I think it was one thing to just kind of try to share wisdom from our perspective. It's another thing to allow that discourse to give people an opportunity to share their unique situation, the nuance, and we could actually have conversations that are helpful, not just for them, but even for us to learn and grow together. So yeah, man, I'm excited for this type of thing. I've been married to my wife for 15 years. She is the most beautiful woman in the world.
Hallelujah.
I have five amazing kids between the ages of 5 and almost 13. So we're definitely blessed. And so looking forward to more conversations and opportunities like this.
Do you know what I'm interested in about Ezekiel is the fact that, who thought of the tour, and what made you say, I'm going to take this on tour? You thought there was like a market.
You know, we've come to London several times for personal events, for spoken word, and then also for our tour, the Poets in Autumn tour. That was a tour that, you know, God gave me the idea for. I happened to be friends with Jackie Hill Perry, Preston Perry, and the other poets that are just amazing and impactful. I think they're the best in the world. And we, you know, we aim to do a tour domestically, and we actually brought it to London, and there was a market for that. But we also noticed that anytime we had conversations or poems around relationships, they would be very highly responded to. But outside of that, it's just been my natural work. I've been working with singles, men and women. I actually did, we created a YouTube dating series, but it was an experiment around people getting together and having conversations. And we also did another series called Talk Back, where we placed singles back to back with each other. They couldn't see how each other would look, but it would allow them to be a little bit more direct and have conversations and that are necessary to have. We also created a game card series for singles and married people so that they could have our discussions and for married couples conversations to bring them together and deal with issues. So we've been just on this idea of just pushing healthy relationships. Preston and Jackie have an exciting story. Jackie came out of a lifestyle of homosexuality. They both have a podcast together where they're showing the glory of God through their life. So it just was natural, being that we're good friends. We have these conversations on the side. It was important to actually have those conversations in the public and listen to people. So it was just natural doing tour. We tour anyway. So it's just like, why don't we just tour about the things that we already are talking about?
I love it. I love it. And it seems like you guys are like the go-to people in relation to communication. Like, I love all the different ways you've expanded on it, you know, with the game cards, with the different, I love that idea of that back-to-back, you know, it's just so cool. Interesting finding different ways to focus on communication. And I would love to ask, like, what are the common communication issues you've noticed in couples? Because I know you say it's not only for singles, you also do things for married couples. And obviously, as a public speaker, you understand the power of words, you know? So I guess I would like to ask, you know, how does this translate into personal relationships and the issues that, you know, common communication issues you've noticed in couples?
Man, people are just not great listeners. We love to express ourselves. We love to get our point across. We love to be heard. We love, even in conflict, we love to have our issues resolved, but not many people are interested in resolving the issues in other people. Even in scriptures, Philippians 2:4 says, seek others' interests even as much as your own. Don't just seek your own the interests of yourself, but seek the interests of others. And we're not really good at that, because instinctively and carnally, we're just selfish people. And we go into relationships selfishly. We're single. We live the single life and we date selfishly. And we wonder why we can't go into a marriage type situation, because that dynamic is literally purely for the selfless. If you're going to succeed in a marriage relationship, if you're going to even be able to accept someone who is growing, you're going to have to learn to be able to accommodate them, to listen, to understand them, to grow with them. So I think having people be enculturated to listen, to understand, to be gracious, to be kind, I think that's something that this generation, all of us, can do better at, but especially this generation.
I love that. I love that. And it's so true. And I have to put my hands up and say, I'm one of those people who has been very selfish in when it comes to listening, you know, because I'm always talking about, look, this is what I need. This is what I need. I need this from you. I need this from my husband. I need that from my husband. And it is very easy to fall into that. And I feel like I'm doing a great job of our marriage, you know, trying to say, I'm communicating. I'm telling you what I need. Am I listening to what he needs, you know?
Right.
And I think as women, I speak for myself, but a lot of women, I think, can relate in the fact that we're very good at communicating what we need, but we're not very good at listening to what our partners need, because sometimes they may not speak. We just feel like because we're doing all the speaking, we're better at communication. But sometimes about, you know, listen, and what does your partner need as well? What does your guy need?
Yeah. Absolutely. That's really, really good.
Ezekiel, can you stay here every week, please?
Oh, man. As long as you can babysit my kids, we'll figure it out.
I have plenty. I just throw them in the clan, man. No way. I just throw them in the rest, man. That's not a problem. You know, you said something pertinent about people not listening, which is, people don't realize that's a very big part of communication, is actually listening. It's not talking. The most important part is actually listening. Is there like a way people can listen, or do you know, like, what's the best way for someone to listen? Or to show them listening? Is it just to sit there and be still? Because you know what happens when you're quiet? You're just sitting there and your brain starts to drift off into another hemisphere. And
that's true.
I think it has to do with the heart and the motive, to be honest, because you could easily tell someone to listen, but they may just be only listening so that they could get their opinion off after the person finished. They're just waiting for the person to finish talking so they can share their perspective or to deal with their issue. First and foremost, I would say, man, you need to really lock in and assess, do you love this person? Do you honestly care about this person? And let's say you haven't got to that stage, and let's say you are single and you're trying to grow and you're trying to learn this person. Like, how do you even have the capacity to love them? I would say you would at least need to love the assignment that God has on their life. Because at the end of the day, even if you guys don't end up with each other, know that God has a plan for you and God has a plan for them. Because you love God, you would not deny an opportunity for that person to grow, and you will not create an opportunity for them to be knocked off their assignment and purpose. Even in dating, it's an opportunity to observe so that you can see if this person is a person that you are willing to take to the next step, and so that you could learn and get all the information and acquire all the information needed to be able to move forward. So you could pray about it, take it to the Lord, whatever you need to do, present it before accountability or whatever. And so I think making sure your heart, that there's love there. And if not love, there should be intention about seeking towards making sure that this person's assignment is preserved. And if that's the case, then when you are engaging in conversations that are needful, when you do run up against conflict, you're going to say, okay, I know that this person is a child of God. I know that this person has purpose. It's important for me. Even when I recognize a flaw, even when I see something is going left, I'm going to recognize that. And I'd be less inclined to not be offended, and be more inclined to seeing what I can do to deposit what God wants me to deposit, even if I'm not staying with this person. After I'm dealing with a person and we don't even end up together, I want to walk away from that situation knowing that I contributed to the journey of their assignment, and not that, oh man, that's my ex, and we had this drama, and we had sex, and this drama. Like, can every ex say, after looking back on your situation and your relationship, that, wow, I know God better because of them. I know myself better. They graciously communicated areas that I could grow. They were selfless. I saw the fruit of the Spirit in this person. I saw what integrity looked like up close. If that's not what people are engaging with when they're engaging you, then you might have to do some real, real self-work and healing before you get into your next relationship.
Oh, that's some deep, powerful words.
That is incredible. That has just shifted, like, my whole perspective on, you know, relationships, because I feel like, especially in the Christian community, there's almost this embarrassment about when you're courting somebody and it doesn't lead to marriage. Do you know what I mean? Like, people almost feel like ashamed, like, oh, you know, it didn't lead to, but this makes so much sense. It's like, how did you guys grow? What did you do for that person's walk in Christ? Like, wow. Yeah. Are you guys hearing this? Listeners, can you hear this? Like, this is so deep. That makes
We get thrown off because of romance. We get thrown off because of sex. We romanticize the dating process. So they're not just a brother in Christ. They're not someone who God has his eyes on, who has a plan. God has a plan for. They're my next boo. He got a six pack, nice smile. She got a nice butt. And, you know, I like this, nice lips and all of that. And we pursue this and go gung-ho on this. And when things get jacked up, our feelings get jacked up, they get jacked up, and not only do they not grow, but instead their eyes and their vision about what godliness is distorted because of you. I guarantee that most people that are engaging in dating and relationships, they present such a bad perspective of a son of God and a child of God that people are coming out of relationships with less reverence for God, with less fear for God, with less desire to chase God because of the people they're engaging who misrepresented him.
And there's a lot of people that misrepresent God. Yeah. Some of them stand on the pulpit, but we know we're gonna go.
Uh-oh. Definitely. Absolutely. I agree with that. Yeah. So dating just has to look different. for us, for children of God. We just have to be a lot more intentional. I got to be more careful, got to be more cautious. And it literally looks like brother and sister that are willing to say, hey, I'm coming into this situation and I am intentionally protecting your assignment while I observe you, while I hear from God about you, while I gather this information about you. I'm going to respect you. I'm going to walk in integrity. I'm not going to disrespect you. I'm going to do whatever is necessary to invest, to deposit into you, so that if we do walk away from this situation, you'll look back and say, the hand of God was on this. I grew. I know better. And there's no disdain. There's no bad blood. I don't hate you. There's no trauma. Yeah. But I think, hey, yeah, you're just not the one for me. I'm growing and we're going to move forward.
Powerful. Have you had any like taboo subjects people approached you on something you're like, ooh, that's a bit deep, or that's
taboo subjects? There's so many things outside. I think one thing that I constantly get in debates about that people disagree with me about is the whole conversation about dating potential. There's so many women. Well, it might be an American thing where a man's status and a man's status, how much he makes, what he does, is so much at the forefront of a conversation that it becomes like an idol in the conversation. So women will say, you know, don't date a man with potential. Don't date a man with potential. And I think what they're trying to say is you need to avoid situations where men are showing patterns or destructive patterns. And you should not invest in a man who's inconsistent and showing destructive patterns, hoping that you're going to change them. If that's what they mean, I'm okay with that. But if not dating potential means that if you meet a person and they're not where they're going to be 10 years from now, I think that that's such an extremely immature way to look at an individual. Just because it's assuming that whether you got your degrees, you're making this amount of money, you assume, number one, that you're not potential, which is way out of pocket. Whether you're a man or a woman, assuming you're not potential, that's extremely arrogant, because you're saying that there's no area in your life that you can grow. And it's also an insult to the person that you're trying to get with. You're saying there's nothing that you can contribute to make me better, because I already have everything I need. And in America, that's kind of like, I'm an independent woman. I got what I need. I don't need you. I want you. Like this idea. But honestly, there's no humility to say, hey, if I see a man, and let's say he's in school, he's still striving to be who God has called him to be. He doesn't have everything that he'll desire to have. A lot of these men, I did a poll and I asked, what's the toughest thing about dating these days? They said, well, we just don't have our things together. It's this pressure from society that tells them they have to be at a particular place to even express interest in a woman. What I enjoy about my wife is that we actually grew together. Yes, we were young, but no matter where you are, you could be in your 30s, you could be in your 40s, you are always at potential. Whether you got $1 million, $10 million, $50,000 or pounds or whatever you got, you are always at a place where you have potential to grow. And so that's what my conversation is with other people. People want to have conversations like, you know, there are men who are not choosing women because at this point, their butt is just not big enough. Like, it's literally conversations like that. I'm like, dude, are you serious? Like, this is a woman that's got to have to raise your kids, and you're worrying about if her butt is big enough at the moment. Don't worry, she'll have kids, and that butt is going to grow as much as you need it to grow. Like, it's really ridiculous how superficial this generation is, and I think social media has created this illusion of options that people think that there is just unlimited swipe passes, that they look at a person and they're not even willing to get to the heart and the core of who they are. They're swiping to the next because their potential, they're not it, they're not in, and they're waiting for finished products. So many people look at me and they say, do you have a brother? I'm like, bro, you wouldn't have been interested in me if you would have met me when my wife met me, but you want the result of her time spent with me, of her long suffering with my growth. You want the finished product. That's so unfair. Like, that's such a cheap way to look at it. It's the same conversation like that dinner with Jay-Z. I want the dinner with Jay-Z because he's going to give me the conversation that's going to make me a billionaire. No, Jay-Z spent a lot of years broke before he ever touched the millions. In the same way,
any relationship that you see thriving had many, many years of growth, pain, journeying to get to that place. And you're never going to be able to shortchange the process of being able to get to that finished product if you're not willing to walk with a person.
The Naked Love Podcast.
And I love that. And I love that. I love the praise that you've given, you know, to your wife in walking with you through that. And I would love to hear more about how you guys have actually approached and worked through, you know, controversial either times or topics that have or situations that have come up in your marriage. How have you guys worked through that? Because like you say, it's one thing, you know, to say, oh, I want the finished product. But actually, is there any practical advice for people who are, you know, with our partners who, you know, we're both in potential, you know, we've both got more potential, we've got more to give, we've got more to, you know, to offer. Like, how do we go through those controversial times and topics, you know, that we need to discuss in our marriage?
And I think part of it is humility, understanding, but it's also just making that decision. When I made a decision to be with my wife, I didn't make it conditionally. I didn't say, oh, I'm going to be with my wife as long as she stays this size. I'm going to be with my wife if this always remains the same. I chose my wife. So if she gains 100 pounds, I'm going to be with my wife. You know what I'm saying? And in the same way, there have been times that, man, I've lost everything in the marriage financially. And my wife to this day has never thrown it in my face. Like there are some women that said, man, that said, well, my wife, if my husband, you know, he loses his job, then I got to find somebody to take care of me. My wife was like, well, what do I got to do? How do I step up? How can I help? And in the same way, there are so many women that are just kind of brainwashed into thinking, yes, a man is supposed to be a provider, but men are providers with a lowercase p, not a capital P, meaning men are called to steward what God has provided. If I'm a provider, that means I always have the answer. If I'm the provider, full provider, that means I am the source, but I'm not the source. I lean on God. I trust in God, and I communicate that to my family. Hey, we trust in God up in here. If we got it, it's his grace. If we don't have it, it's his wisdom. He's keeping us from something. He's protecting us from something. But at the end of the day, my wife practically has stood with me in the hardest seasons financially. And now, as she's reaping the benefit of being with me when things aren't that difficult. And I think so many people want to escape the journey. And at the end of the day, people want to escape the journey. People don't want to commit to walking it out with someone. My wife met me when I did not have a beard. They're like, oh, we want a man with a beard. Would you be willing to just even walk with a man who doesn't even have everything that's on your list in that moment? Will you be willing to even have a conversation? What I've noticed with this generation is I've had men that I consider the cream of the crop in regards to character. When I've tried to hook those men up with women, bro, they just look at one profile picture, a little small picture or one picture, and then next, you got anybody else? But if I show a man that, you know, is super handsome or tall and, you know, muscular and stuff like that, he could even say, you know, I worship the devil sometimes. They'll be like, well, can you just, I just want to hear what he's saying. Like, be important. Like, I'm being exaggerative.
Yes, but
in the same way, like, yeah, like, and I used to think it was the men. And now I realize, oh, it's both. Both parties are super shallow. Everybody just wants and now nobody's invested with what God is saying. When I got with my wife, I prayed this prayer. I said, God, whoever you have for me, I'm willing to accept them. Even if they're not the most beautiful woman in the world, even if they don't look out, because I used to have a list, but I'm just like, man, I realize in my own wisdom, I keep finding myself leading myself to destruction. So I want to make sure I adjust myself so that when God brings me what I need, I don't push them away because they're not what I think that I want. Because I'd rather have what God knows that I need at the expense of what I think that I want. Why? Because God knows the end from the beginning. And if I lock into what his desire is for me, there are prayers that I was too immature to pray at the age of 22 that I realized I needed in my wife in 2023. That was way back in 2006. There are prayers I wasn't even mature enough to know I needed. There are things that I needed in her as a mother of my children that I wasn't even thinking about kids. I was just wondering, okay, she got to look like this. She got to present like this. She got to talk like this. She got all of these things, and none of it mattered.
And so if people were willing to humble themselves and say, God, direct me, adjust my heart, that I'm even willing and open to accepting what you present before me. And then people just need to be willing to have conversations with people, build relationships, like brother and sister relationships. Like, it's so crazy that people are not even people. If I say, hey, there's a brother in Christ, hey, get to know him. I'm not saying be his boyfriend, but imagine having a conversation with that brother and being blown away with how he walks in the Lord. Maybe in the moment you might not see it, but then your mind opens up and it's like, man, he's finer than I thought. This is what happened with my wife. When I first saw her, I was not blown away in attraction. It was days later when she finally came to the church and my eyes opened up. And so, yes, that's also possible. If you open up your eyes the way God allows you to, you'll be able to see what God wants you to see. So it's just being willing to be open for what God may have for you. And so I don't want people to think that I don't want you to be with somebody that's attractive. Yes, that's important. However, what you might deem is attractive right now based on surface things and things that you might want right now, you might be blinding your eyes to what is really truly attractive in the long run. So I'll just say that.
That's a very millennial thinking that you guys, you know, very shallow, the instant generation. I want it all now. I want to be this way. And it's sad because people are missing out and they're getting older.
Yeah.
By the time they turn around, then they end up just accepting the first man that says hi because it's like, I'm desperate now. I want a child. And end up in a situation, you know, single parent or whatever, because this guy wasn't meant for them.
Yep.
I wanna ask you something.
Yep.
In terms of like communication. Because, you know, as you said, communication is very pop. In a relationship, not even in a relationship, someone speaking and being silent. Because I've heard women complain about men being silent when they're dating or in a relationship with them. Mm-hmm. And men says, I'm listening or whatever it may be. Is that something that you recommend? Is that something that's recommended? Because I've heard it so much. He doesn't have much to say. He doesn't have anything to do, whatever it may be.
There's a couple perspectives on that. I think there are some people that are naturally more reserved. There are people that are naturally don't always have thoughts on everything. There are people that just have thoughts on everything and want to argue down everything. So if we're not talking about that type of situation, just instinctively, there's someone that just doesn't want to open up and talk about their feelings, doesn't want to talk about things that matter in a relationship. I think it's conditioning. There are some men that have, even in their childhood, been traumatized by speaking and not feeling like they're what they have to say would be received. Imagine growing up in a household when you do speak, someone, you know, they laugh at what you say or they don't listen to what you say, and your words, you don't feel like they have value. Maybe there may have been some times that this man may have opened his mouth or tried to be vulnerable and with that person or maybe people in his past, and he has not felt safe to speak in those situations. He's just been conditioned to say, you know what, I'd rather just keep these things to myself. I'd rather figure it out myself than put myself in a situation where I feel disrespected, I'll feel hurt, I'll feel unsafe with being transparent and being vulnerable. And a lot of times that's kind of what we see. So they have to be unconditioned, I would say, or deprogrammed from that traumatized dynamic that causes them to go into a shell when it's time to actually communicate about things that matter. Usually in those situations, those type of men need therapy. They need people to walk them through how they arrived, where they arrived. And then also in the woman, she can actually help by creating and cultivating a safe environment for him to speak. When he does share things that might be slightly vulnerable, appreciate it, affirm it, and say, thank you for sharing that. I feel closer to you. I respect you more for being open and honest. And anytime you praise and affirm a man, it encourages him to do more. And so once a man feels safe, he's willing to do so much more. I like the term insecure. Insecure just means unsafe, right? And I always say that just because somebody's insecure doesn't mean they're insecure in every situation with everyone. And for example, there are some people that say they don't dance, but around their family, they might do a little bit. You know what I'm saying? There might be some people that you say are insecure, but online, they might show their body a little bit. Or when they get in situations like on Instagram, they might, you know, they're a different person, because in those spaces, they feel safe to be more than they are in other spaces. In the same way, we have the power to cultivate or restrict people from being safe in our environments. And we have the power to actually encourage more security with our responses when they're vulnerable.
Oh, I love that. I love that. You know, yeah. I could sit there listening to you all day because it's very, you're given, even I've been my wife for 20 years. We've been together 20 years. But it's refreshing, especially as a young man, as you speaking like that. And just, you know, the insight you have in a relationship is like, wow. Wow, deep. it's a lot, because some people have been together for 30 years and they haven't got kind of insight and foresight or the ability to break down the dynamics of a relationship in a plausible way, in a palatable way.
Yeah. Yes. Sometimes I find frustration can just put blinkers on you. You're just frustrated at the fruits. Like you're saying, you know, people have past, people have different things that have happened, and all you're seeing is the fruit of, you know, their past experiences, and you're frustrated at the person, where it's like, no, let's understand what has gone on, or why do you feel this way? Why do you feel like you can't open up to me, you know, or, you know, what's going on? So I think, gosh, guys, I feel like this is just full of gems, yes, guys.
I like what you just said. What you just explained was us personalizing someone's self-defense mechanism. Yes. When you personalize someone's silence or inability to communicate and you punish them for it, it just pushes them further into that place. Let's say a woman just instinctively seems like they have an attitude or seem like they're, you know, they respond a little bit more volatile when it comes to certain situations or handling conflict. You might want to personalize the way that they're acting instead of graciously finding ways to be able to be therapeutic in that, to be the therapeutic person in the situation, be understanding, find grace to understand that you might not have been the person who have brought them to that situation, but now you're dealing, like you said, with the results and the outcome of that situation. And because you're here, because you love them, you have to be willing to be a healing source in the situation rather than someone who's so offended that they're silent, so offended that they got an attitude, so offended that they don't know how to handle conflict, and be someone who is more of a problem solver and willing to hear, willing to work out, willing to create, find resources for that person to grow and be better. That's so difficult because we're so selfish, we're so self-centered that if they're silent, oh, well, he doesn't want to talk to me. All right, you know, he didn't want to talk to me. Then you know what?
I'm going to be silent too.
You see what I'm saying? And it creates a cycles when you could have been saying, hey, why is he silent? I realize when it comes to talking, like, he's not silent when he's talking about the things he likes, like game, the game and things like that. He opens up. When it comes to talking about his past, he gets silent. What is it about his past? It might be painful to him. Let me see. Hey, I'm going to ask you a question. Maybe you don't have to talk. You can maybe be able to write it down. Is there going to be a better way? Or is there someone that you'd be willing to open up with about this? Because I see you. You got it. I've learned the art of just speaking life. Like, I see you as a powerful man. And I believe if you deal with the issues of your past, you'll even be more powerful. Dealing with those issues and be speaking up. And it just encourages me when I see you just even show a little bit of vulnerability. Imagine a man just saying, you said what? Okay, well, what I gotta do? And so you're encouraging and praising them towards healing and affirming them towards healing rather than punishing instances when they're just really showing self-defense mechanisms from things they're trying to protect themselves from being hurt again.
Wow, well, thank you so much, Ezekiel. This is so deep, and I personally want to know, and I'm sure our listeners want to know as well, what topics you will be talking about on your London tour, because already I feel like you've just given us a bit of a taster into what's going to be happening. Like, this is really deep.
Oh man, no, it's no holds bar. Everything is on the table. We're going to be talking about issues with culture, you know, culture clashes when it comes to marriage. We'll be talking about issues with expectations from single people. What should you expect as a man, as a woman? What does masculinity look like? What should femininity look like? What are turnoffs for men? What are turnoffs for women? What should women be going for? Is it okay for women to approach men? Should men be stepping up more? Should men be dating multiple people at the same time? We could talk about everything and anything. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Ezekiel. If you could just share for our listeners the dates of the tour, where we can get tickets. Just, give us all the details for everybody listening.
Absolutely. We Need to Talk tour is happening November 4th in London. I don't know. I got to look at the location again, but you could go to WeNeedToTalkTour.com. WeNeedToTalkTour.com. You could get tickets straight away. It's going to be crazy. There's so many people that's already going to be there. And I always like to say this, it's like an open forum. You may have an opportunity to ask a question directly to us about something that's been plaguing you, bothering you. You could just, you know, your unpopular opinions. We want to hear all of it because, and this is going to be different for us because culturally, we're not in London, in the UK. We don't know what's actually happening. So it'd be interesting to know if there's some differences, different challenges that you guys are facing that we could have conversations about together.
It won't be too dissimilar. I can already tell you that.
Okay, cool.
Because they've all watched the same Insta. But Ezekiel, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us, my brother.
Would it be okay for you to just close us out in prayer?
Yeah, definitely. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, this time where we can share and deliberate about things that matter. Relationship is the foundation of what we have with you, Lord. We are your children. You desire for us to grow in relationship with you, O King of Glory. And if we fail in relationship with you, then our relationships with others will be distorted. So I'm praying healing for those who have been brokenhearted, those who are confused and who are uncertain, those who have just given up on relationships, whatever kind of relationships it may be, praying for restoration for them, O God. And I'm praying for those who need to draw closer to you, to be able to draw closer even now, that this will cause them to pursue you like never before, to get in your presence, to get on their knees, to call out to you, O Lord, for a father-daughter, father-son relationship with you once again. We're thanking you for the host, the presenters, this entire show. We pray that it continue to bless those who hear. I'm praying for those who attend this event, that it will be more than just conversations, but it will be a gateway to your throne. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, guys, for tuning into Naked Love Podcast. If you want to catch more, don't forget, follow us on Naked Love Pod. And also leave us your comments and any topics you might want us to discuss. Me and Kathy will, we'll tackle it very soon.
Yes, we will. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you, guys. Ciao.